For more information on Victory Faith Centre and to download sermons at no charge, visit www.victoryfaithcentre.org.au.
Of believing in evolution. So let's open in prayer as we come around this topic. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word shows us, it is light to us, and the entrance of your word gives light. And I ask that tonight there be clarity of truth and light in people's hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So tonight we're looking at a subject which is quite relevant, because right across in our educational system, right through our society, there is a philosophy, a godless, atheistic philosophy being continually put forth, and it is quite clear, right through and rife, even amongst churches, that is saying that either God did not create, or does not exist, or in fact used evolution in some way. But God is quite clear that he did create. Right at the very beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created." So the Bible makes it very clear right from the beginning. If you have a look, first of all, at Psalm 14, we'll read a couple of verses from Psalm 14, starting from verse 1. And I use the word foolishness in the title tonight quite clearly, because when you leave God out of the picture, that's when foolishness enters in. And the Bible says in Psalm 14, starting from verse 1, it says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." In verse 2, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God." So God looks upon the affairs of man, and he sees that there are some on the earth today who have believed the gospel and come into the kingdom of God. But there are many right across the earth today, many who leave God completely out of the picture, live their lives essentially in an atheistic way, as though there is no God. And so in their hearts they're saying there is no God, and people have to have some sort of a justification for that type of thing. And evolution does give some sort of intellectual justification. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. God has put that such a person in that category of being a fool. So what's the major problem? Well, believing in evolution goes against accepting the Holy Bible as the final authority and truth. As I said before, in Genesis 1 verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Right from the beginning, right at the very beginning of the Bible, it establishes God as the creator. It didn't say God evolved or used evolution. It says God created, and there's many other scriptures which point to that as well. So we come to the Bible, we either believe it or not. Some people explain away Genesis. Some people don't believe the Bible at all. But in fact, we can take it and should take it as the word of God. Notice what it says in 1 Timothy 6 verse 20. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called." So there is the opposition to the word of God, and there is science falsely so called. You'll hear people say things like evolution is established science, when of course it's not at all. And It's set up as an opposition to believing the Word of God as the truth. And there's much that comes out of that. As I said before, it becomes a justification for people to live their lives as though there is no God, when in fact there is enormous amounts of evidence which support the biblical model that God created. The other thing is that when Jesus Christ was on the earth, he spoke of earthly things as though they were absolutely true. In John 3:12, Jesus said, "If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" In other words, if you don't believe the earthly things that God has clearly stated, such as the great flood in the time of Noah, or creation itself, or even the existence of Adam and Eve, or Noah, or the ark, if you don't believe those things which Jesus very clearly said existed and took as truth, for example, he said in the beginning he created the male and female, well, there's the answer to the gender question. So Christ told of earthly things such as the creation, the flood, Noah and the ark. Now you have a real problem if you start doubting all of that type of thing, because he says very clearly in John 3:12, if you can't even believe if I've told you about earthly things, how are you going to believe about the spiritual things? And in particular, when he said you must be born again, how are you going to believe that if you can't even believe the basic truths of earthly things that have been placed in the Word of God? So when we look at, this is an example of Jesus speaking of earthly things, in Luke 17 verse 27 he says, "They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all." Well, here's three things that he said is it happened and is truth. He talked about Noah, the existence of Noah. He talked about the ark. He talked about the flood coming and destroying them all. And if you go back into the book of Genesis, it's quite easy to show that it was a global flood, not a local flood. So Jesus spoke of these things as historical truth. And you've got a real problem if you start to try to explain away not just the book of Genesis, but other things that he spoke of as historical truth. You have a real problem, because how are you going to believe the spiritual things that he talked about? How are you going to believe things such as the just shall live by faith? What is faith? How are you going to even understand those type of things? How are you going to understand prayer? How are you going to understand righteousness or redemption or all types of other spiritual things if you can't even believe the very basics of him speaking about earthly things and historical as historical truth? There's a real problem there that people have. You see, the Word of God is completely true. The Lord Jesus Christ took the Old Testament as being completely accurate and true concerning creation. Let's have a look at Mark 10 verse 6. So there's God's perfect Word, and there's man's fallible opinion. And if you know anything about history, you'll know that man's opinion changes like the wind. Sometimes, you know, one year they're believing one thing, next year they're believing something else. That sounds like shifting sand philosophy. And because of that, how can you build your house on that type of thing? How can you build your life on that type of thing? How can you build your thinking on that type of thing? Because it's like shifting sand. Jesus gave the analogy of the wise man building his house upon the rock and the foolish man building his house upon the sand. Because when the floods come, when things come in life that have pressure to them or trouble, you're not going to be able to stand because your foundation is so low, is so shifty. Now, Mark 10 verse 6 says, "But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female." So what did Jesus say there? It was creation. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. It's very clear that Jesus was a creationist, that Jesus believed in creation. And he wants, of course, those who believe in him to also agree in creation and other historical things that might come up in the Word of God. I think one thing we've got to understand is that the world system, has what the Bible calls the God of this world, little g, God of this world, Satan, over it. And so there's going to be various philosophies that will keep people away from the Word of God, keep people away from the foundation of truth. But God points us to a foundation that we can build our lives upon. And it's the foundation of truth, which is testable. So there's a biblical view versus the atheistic view. In the biblical creation model, you take Genesis literally. It says that creation was completed supernaturally in 6 days. I mean, that's not hard to understand with a supernatural, omnipotent God. Whereas the evolution model talks about continuing naturalistic origin. That is, everything started simple amoeba-type creatures and developed through this so-called evolution process to become the complicated creatures we see right throughout creation today. Also, creation is in decay due to the sin and the curse. You see, when God created right at the very beginning, it says he looked upon everything and he said it was very good. Well, you couldn't look upon creation today and say it's very good, could you? Because it's full of disasters, natural disasters, full of disease and all types of things. In fact, the Bible says the whole of creation groaneth as in travail. So what happened between the very good and the now? Well, let's have a look. Go to Romans 5. We'll just have a quick look at what it says in Romans 5 here. So when we start to build our thinking upon Scripture, when you start to build your thinking upon Scripture, then you start to understand things for what they really are like. What are they really like? Well, something has happened since the beginning of creation and where we are now. And that something was the fall of man. You see, when man fell, have a look in verse 12 of Romans 5. When man fell, sin entered in and the curse entered in to creation. Of course, God promises that one day there'll be a new heavens and a new earth. So there's going to be a restoration completely. But Romans 5 verse 12 says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." So right at the very beginning, everything was very good, but then sin entered in. And death entered in. That's all part. When sin enters in, the curse enters in because judgment is upon sin. And you can see that right in the book, beginning of Genesis, where he talks about thorns and thistles would come up and their bodies would change. All that type of thing. The animals obviously changed. So you see predatory behaviour of many animals. So something has happened to creation. So we've got to build our minds, our thinking, upon the Bible, not upon man's shifting philosophy. But of course, the evolution model, instead of saying creation is in decay due to sin and the curse, says there's a net present increase in complexity. But that makes no sense whatsoever, because there is no mechanism for that. They might point to things like mutations, but mutations are virtually all detrimental and destructive. They don't create new information, which is what going from simple to complex would require. They cause destruction of information. You see, man has mapped even the DNA molecule, and they've seen that there's codes there. They see that there's programs on how living systems are to operate, how they're designed and built. Yet they can't even see that. And this is blindness, obviously spiritual blindness. They can't even see that there's a programmer, there's a designer. And because of that, because they can't even see what's right in front of them, God is holding them to account. He's saying, look, it's very clear. Creation's not something that is hard to work out or is not able to be seen. And we'll look at a verse which shows that quite clearly in a minute. But the evolution model is very different from the creation model. You can't mix them. Also, Earth history dominated by the flood. If there really was a global flood, you'd expect billions of dead things all over the Earth, buried in rock layers, laid down by water. Is that what you see? You see the majority of rock layers are sedimentary rock, which means laid down by water. You see all types of fossil graveyards filled with animals of all different ecological systems pushed together, many in death throes. See, fossils are not a representation of gradual increase of complexity. They're a representation of great cataclysmic death and burial. That's what you would expect if there was a global flood. And in fact, previous to Darwin, many people were, biblical scholars were pointing to the Great Flood as being the way to understand geology and things like that. But of course, in the evolution model, everything is around uniformitarianism. Everything's been going the way it has been right from the beginning, and it's just gradual build-up and all that type of thing. You know, they can't believe in a global flood on Earth, and yet there's many evolutionists who believe in a global flood on Mars, which at the moment is virtually a waterless planet. This is blindness. So the Word of God is foundational. And I mentioned this before, Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So if you're building your house upon a rock, what's the rock? Hearing the sayings of the Son of God, okay, who is God manifest in the flesh, and doing them. So basically building your life upon the Word of God. That includes your thinking. So the Bible's very clear that Christians should be transformed by the renewing of their minds. Well, how is that possible? Well, you need to get the Word of God into your heart, into your mind, into your thinking. You see, even evolutionists have changed their thinking over the years. Evolutionists no longer believe or teach what Darwin taught. And that's not hard to see. You can have a look in the evolutionary literature. For example, in this book, The Tangled Tree by David Quammen. David Quammen explains how recent discoveries in molecular biology can change our understanding of evolution and life's history. He hasn't changed his belief in evolution, even though you go to that book and many others, they talk about molecular machines and molecular machinery. Like, come on, machines and machinery, and you can't see that something's been built to do something as a purpose? Forgive me for mocking this atheistic belief. I've been a creationist since 1979. So what does God say? Well, let's have a look at these scriptures. Isaiah 60 verse 2. Isaiah 60 verse 2. Talks about a condition right across the earth, and I believe we're in that particular condition now. And it's the condition of darkness and ignorance. You see, the Bible talks about God's word being light. It talks about the glorious gospel. It talks about light shining into people's understanding. It talks about being illuminated. So Isaiah 60 verse 2, notice what it says here, and I'll just read it. Well, I'll read verses 1 and 2, just to get the context. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So there is the comparison between the light of God and the darkness that's covering the earth. And the Bible talks about the wicked are in darkness. For example, in Proverbs 4 it talks about that. And they know not at what they stumble. They know not, see? So darkness and knowledge are connected. Darkness and lack of knowledge, I should say, is connected. But light and knowledge is also connected. But where do we get our knowledge from? Are we going to get it from the shifting sand of men's fallible opinions? Or are we going to get it from God's truth? Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So we've already gone through Psalm 14 verse 1. God states that fools say there is no God. Romans 1 verse 20, there is no excuse when someone looks at creation. Let's have a look at what Romans 1 verse 20. See, I'm going through what does God say at the moment to make it clear that God is looking upon mankind, and what does he see? He sees there's darkness upon their hearts. The Bible says men love darkness. Men loved darkness, and they still do. So what's the solution? They need to have light. And Romans 1 verse 20 is quite clear. It says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are," what? "Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." As far as God is concerned, when you look at creation, the things that are made, it's clearly seen. I gave the example of the DNA molecule, molecular machinery, many, many other examples we can go through. Irreducible complexity, we could go through that. Where if you take even a small component of a complex organ such as the eye or the ear out, it doesn't function anymore. Well, how can evolution explain that? Only a designer who designed the eye. In fact, Isaac Newton said that how can the eye come about except through a knowledge of optics? Now, Isaac Newton is known as the father of modern science. He said, how can the ear be explained except through a knowledge of sound? We could also go through how can the brain be explained except for a knowledge of computing. You see, all of this is clearly seen. But there must be a darkness that's upon men and women's hearts. That's spiritual darkness. So we see here, he says they're clearly seen. And he says that they're without excuse. Without excuse. Well, 2 Peter 3 verse 5, let's look at that. People can be willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. Let's look at what that says. 2 Peter 3 verse 5. We don't want to be willingly ignorant, do we? Now the sad thing is, you've got the whole school system oriented, you know, the whole education system currently oriented towards pushing out evolutionary doctrine. It's the same with the media, you know. So 2 Peter 3 verse 5 says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. So people can be willingly ignorant, of their own free will, ignorant. And they can have the evidence all put before them. But unless they're truly wanting to seek the Lord, or seek God, or seek truth, God can't get through to them, because they've made a willingly ignorant stance. And I think that's what we're looking at currently in our society now. So John 3 verse 19 says, men love darkness, which is the opposite of the word of God. I'll just go back to that one. John 3 verse 19, let's look at that. So in John 3:19, there's this statement that's made. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So sin causes people to be in darkness. See, this is the reality. And so they'll love the darkness, which includes all that ignorance that we're speaking of, and they'll hate the light. That's the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, of the people of God, ye are light. So they hate that type of light. And of the word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So they hate that light too. But it's the very thing they absolutely need. And this is one of the reasons why, on a very consistent basis, we present creationist teaching here. So that at least there is that answer that is available to any who will listen. Also, the Bible says that the heavens declare for all to see, all to hear. Have a look at Psalm 19 verse 1. So when you look up into the night sky, now this is a very interesting area, because you look at the sun, for example, a ball of flame in the sky provides light, exact correct distance from Earth to provide heat and light, and to provide, obviously, the plants were set up so that they can produce food. There's a process by which they take in light. All of this, it sounds like a system, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like something that's just come about through random chance processes. And if you've ever looked into what Isaac Newton believed, he said that everything was like a system. Now, Isaac Newton is known as the father of modern science, okay? So Psalm 19 verse 1, let's have a look at what that says, because this is very, very important for us to see that God says they're without excuse. Without excuse. The heavens declare. Well, declare is a pretty straightforward word, isn't it? Declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Verse 2, day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. You know, even the stars are used by, have been and are still used by navigators. Why? Because it's reliable. The stars aren't just flying across there randomly and flying over there randomly. There's a progression in the night sky. Is that by chance random process? Clearly not. The Word of God is clear about creation. We've already gone through Romans 1:20. We'll quote it again. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And of course, we know that Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God even points in Hebrews 3 verse 4, points to a very clear analogy. He says, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Well, that's a testable thing. You should be able to go and look at things and see, are things built? Are they designed? Because if you build a house, obviously you've got to have blueprints. You've got to have a design. You've got to have building materials. Now, we're not going to go into detail, but clearly there are building materials that God used, atoms and molecules. Okay, in physical beings, animals have legs and heads, and same with humans. We've got eyes and ears and so on. They're all functional things. God has built from the atomic level up. And he says in his word, very clearly, he that built all things is God. There's no getting around that. God is saying, this is something you can look at. But many have been brainwashed against truth. We mentioned about this. Ken Ham says in Gospel Reset, his book Gospel Reset 2018, page 122. This is what he says. Now consider this. The world through the schools and secular media teaches that there never was a global flood and that death has been here since the beginning of life eons ago. Thus they think the Bible's geology must be wrong. Well, you imagine little children continually having this pumped to them. Many of them don't go to any church whatsoever. Many of them don't have any Christian input into their lives, and that's quite a deliberate thing nowadays. But what's the fossil record speaking about? I mentioned it just recently. Jerry Bergman in Insect Evolution, A Major Problem for Darwinism, in the Technical Journal, volume 18, 2004, page 91, says this: a review of the insect fossil record literature reveals a complete lack of evidence for the evolution of insects. Well, when you look at what insects are built like, you see insect flight, you see wing folding, compound eyes and metamorphosis. In particular, lack fossil evidence. Okay, you don't see wings gradually forming. You see them fully formed in fossils. You don't see, you know, compound eyes gradually forming. You see them fully formed. Well, that speaks of creation. It speaks of a global flood with rapid burial, which is the truth of the matter. And yet, and this is what is of real concern, and I was just at the library recently. This is a children's book. It comes from the National Geographic Kids, Extreme Records. Design is seen, and that's what they say there, dragonflies, masters of flight. Masters of flight. And yet evolution is assumed. Dragonfly ancestors that lived 250 million years ago, etc. So, something's really wrong here in people's thinking. What is wrong? When you leave the word of God out of a society, darkness comes in its place. Ignorance comes into its place. That is a major problem. Fossils were quickly, not slowly, formed. Gary Parker, in his book Creation 2010, page 192, says this: most fossils are formed when a plant or animal is quickly and deeply buried out of the reach of scavengers and currents, usually in mud, lime or sand sediment rich in cementing minerals that harden and preserve at least parts of the dead creatures. Evolutionists and creationists agree the ideal conditions for forming most fossils and fossil-bearing layers are flood conditions. Well, what do we observe in Scripture? The flood changed the face of the earth. 2 Peter 3 verse 6 says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Sounds like great destruction. Very quickly, the whole earth was covered. That's catastrophic. Genesis 7 verses 11 and 12 says, all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So you can see that there were great underground reservoirs of water which came up, and there was some sort of water, we'll call it canopy, that precipitated, and it was a 40 days and 40 nights rain. That's what God says. So how are fossils and the flood related? Now, the reason I'm bringing up fossils is because evolutionists bring up fossils as their so-called major evidence for evolution, and yet it's not that at all. But of course, you don't get the other side presented in the education system. So how are fossils and the flood related? Well, Gary Parker, in Creation 2010, page 196, says this: actually, most scientists and scholars before Darwin took billions of fossils buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth as extremely powerful evidence confirming the Bible. A record in stone of the worldwide flood of Noah's time described in Genesis, and also in the traditions, oral and written, of hundreds of cultures, the descendants of Noah from around the world. So, the fossils actually confirm the Bible, not shouldn't cause people to deny the Bible. It's just that people are not thinking correctly. So the foolishness of believing things evolved. The fossil record, taken by many as evidence for evolution, which is why I'm bringing it up now, speaks of these type of things. It speaks of stasis, which means no change, not transition from one animal to another. It shows complex, fully formed, designed parts and animals. I mentioned that just recently about the insects. It shows that fossils were not formed over long periods of time, but in quick burial conditions. And is even refuted by evolutionists as insufficient evidence. There's lots of evolutionary documents saying that the fossils are not providing the evidence they want or wanted. So I pray that tonight you at least thought about this whole area. because the world has its particular way of viewing things. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. And the Bible says we should not be conformed to this world. Well, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. We're not to be conformed to the world. We should be conformed to kingdom thinking, to biblical thinking. Isn't that what the Bible says? To be conformed to the image of Christ. So if Jesus looked and spoke about the truth of the Old Testament and the truth of God creating and so on, that's exactly the way we should be if we're to be conformed to his image. Let me just point you to these references. I won't read them out, but there's many references on our webpage of both documents and books. There's sermons. There's a whole creation section on sermons about creation. For example, biblical answers about Genesis and creation, and fossils confirm biblical creation, and the heavens declare the glory of God. But you can read through that reference list yourself, because this will be going up on the website, this sermon and study as well. So let's close in prayer. I pray that God has given you light tonight. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the light of your word. We thank you, Lord, for your truth. And Father, I pray for every person here that there be an opening in people's hearts to hear what you have for their lives. Lord, we desire truth in our lives. We desire light. Bless everyone here abundantly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord.